big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host, and this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I have a new guest. His name is Jeff Reed, and he actually has an online ministry background. He used to be an online pastor down in Florida, and now he leads the Church Digital, where he is helping churches make the leap into the digital world and work with online ministry. And he's got some awesome insights, and he's got some awesome thoughts on how to do ministry online. And we talked today about... Part of it is the difference between just going into online communications and online ministry. What's the difference there, and how can you take steps to really grow your online ministry? So I'm really excited to have him on. It's a great conversation. So without any further ado, let's get into the conversation now with Jeff Reed from The Church Digital. All right, with me right now is Jeff Reed. Jeff, how are you?
Doing great, Tom. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. I'm excited to talk to you because I actually saw a tweet by Jay Kranda about you, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to talk to this guy, Jeff Reed. And thankfully, you're great with emails, so you kind of quickly responded to me when I was kind of asking you some questions, but thanks for joining me on the podcast. Can you give people a little bit of background about what you do?
Yes. So right now I run a company called The Church Digital. We're a company, consulting company. We help churches and nonprofits with digital communications and a number of those things. But my heart and my passion is always helping churches with church online. Mm-hmm. So I've got a background as a former with the Jay Kranda podcast, which is awesome. I have a former online campus pastor for a number of years, helping a church develop a digital strategy, and a kind of taking a step back from actually being on staff with a specific church and instead moving more towards helping the general, the big C church, mm-hmm. developing their digital strategy for them and bringing awareness and attention to the online church.
Well, that is awesome because there's, you know, again, I think digital online campus stuff with churches going digital and streaming their services, that is very hot right now. There's a lot of people doing it. We started ours about 4 years ago and really excited about this opportunity it presents to us. But I'm really excited because there's still few like online campus guys, online pastors out there still. And so it's kind of nice to be able to talk to someone like you. So
sure. You know, it's it is kind of a hot topic right now. There's maybe 4,000 to 5,000 churches right now in America, as near as we can guess, that are broadcasting some sort of church service online. But in context of that, there's 383,000 evangelical churches in America. Mm. So yeah, it's a hot topic, but probably less than 2% is actually doing anything with it, much less getting into online discipleship and small groups and that. The numbers drastically shrink off. And so, you know, really my passion is talking with big churches, talking with small churches, talking with church plants, talking with anybody, and just trying to coach them through, man, here's some ideas, here's what you should be talking with your leadership about, here's some philosophical things, start to wrestle with, you know, how to take church online to the next level or how to get started in church online.
Yeah, well, that is awesome. Well, I'm excited to talk to you, and we are actually going to talk about one of your blog posts that you have on your site, and I'll have a link to it on my show notes, but your blog post is called, Are You Church Online? The Difference Between Digital Communications and Digital Missions, okay? So what is, let's break it down to this. What is digital communications?
You know, the majority of churches out there, at least the evangelical, the reaching, they're doing some sort of digital communications already. Mm-hmm. Is social media. Everybody's got a website. Most people have got some sort of Facebook presence or a mobile app or mobile website, you know, responsive something. Obviously, some churches are doing it better than others, but everyone has some sort of voice online, on digital. And so when I look at digital communications, you know, in larger churches, there's a communications director. At a middle or small church, man, there's probably a student guy or a youth guy that knows how to spell social media. But at some level, someone is engaging and is creating content that's hopefully trying to get the audience to engage them back. And so at the crux, that's what digital communications is. And if the goal of your church is to bring more people into the existing physical locations that your church has, then you're utilizing your digital communication channels as a way to bring people in to hear the message at the physical locations. And that's a perfectly good strategy. It's not necessarily church online, because there's a different wrinkle there between digital communications, bringing people into a physical location, versus doing church online.
Yeah, so then let's get into this. Then what is digital missions? What is church online? How would you characterize that?
Sure. And so the flip side of this is this idea of, okay, we want to do missions online. We want to evangelize. We want to take the message of Christ to someone online. Mm-hmm. And that's different than I want to bring people into my physical location. That's, I'm utilizing digital channels to reach out and meet people physically where they are, whether they're in the physical campuses, you know, 25 miles within the physical campus, or what if they're 2, 3, 4 cities away? Mm-hmm. What if they're several states away, or even on a different continent?
Yeah.
Recently, my last church, the church that I was serving as a digital strategist for, they had somebody accept Christ through the service in like the Netherlands. And, you know, we've had situations before where somebody gets saved in a different city, and it's like, okay, well, I know, you know, my buddy's a pastor over there, go talk to him. Or, you know, if it's in a different state, you're on Google trying to find the church to try to, you know, help the person get baptized or something like that. But man, you got to have some sort of a strategy in place for, yeah, this guy over here in the Netherlands just got saved. Yeah. And the fallback of that is, okay, we don't want to do drive-by evangelism. We don't want to say, hey, congratulations on accepting Christ, have a nice life, you know, come back and watch us again next week. There has to be some form of discipleship that's involved. Yes. And with that discipleship then comes, all right, there has to be a process towards this. This is not just simply pressing play on a virtual VCR player to watch services every Sunday. I mean, that comes in form of small groups, Bible studies, Sunday school, whatever your church calls it.
Yeah.
That comes in context of opportunities to serve, challenging to give. What you're essentially boiling down to here is you're creating a completely separate, different, distinct church online.
Yeah.
Yes, it operates like your physical campus does. It has the same mission, vision, strategy. But if the end goal is to get people into a physical small group, then we just failed that guy who just got saved in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to have systems in place, volunteers teaching small groups, opportunities to serve, opportunities to give online, so that this person can become discipled and grow deeper in their faith.
Yeah. I love this. And because that's what we took, because we felt like we wanted to be a resource to people. When we started our online campus, we wanted to be a resource to people in our area and be able to help people connect and stay connected. If their kids are sick or if they're traveling, we want them to stay connected to the community. But we also had a bigger picture of thinking, we want to be able to reach more people for Christ that aren't able to connect with the church for whatever reason. And so we've been very pleased with it. Now, you know, we have different goals that we're trying to achieve here. But what do you think are some of the barriers or why some people choose just to stay with digital communications and just use Facebook and, sure, and whatnot, and maybe stream their, you know, services on Facebook Live rather than trying to do like an online platform like Church Online or something else?
Sure. You know, I think there's several kind of barriers in place. First off, there's maybe a lack of vision, or maybe better put, a lack of understanding.
Yeah.
In context with some of the senior leaders and leadership teams that you're working with. And there's a lot of coaching and development that needs to happen and understanding. And often when I sit down with churches, it's explaining big picture. It's not that it's, you know, there's conversations that literally are happening. It's like, well, the online church, the online campus would compete with the physical campus. What happens if somebody just stays at home on their couch and doesn't come to church and is lazy? Mm-hmm. Online church is so expensive. We'll never make any of that money back. And a lot of times it's based upon misunderstandings or even just philosophical. No, it doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. There's ways to complement and not compete with the different campuses. If you're looking at launching an online campus versus launching, you know, a new building or a new property campaign or something like that, it's far cheaper online, not to mention the scalability of online. You can reach far more people far cheaper than you can at a physical campus. And so it comes, there's a lot of coaching that comes along with it. Mm-hmm. And then the other part, you know, vision, of course, but then there is this element of cost.
Yeah.
That almost goes hand in hand because they don't understand the potential of what's there. They don't own the vision for it. And until they own it, then the cost, then the staffing, then the involvement, all these things, you know, they're very quick to just say, okay, babysit this kind of social media thing over here. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just get the services up because they're not seeing the potential of, I have a chance to disciple people all across the country, all across the world, and to lead them into creating biblical community groups where they are on these different states, on these different continents. Mm-hmm. I had the pleasure maybe 6 months ago of leading an online small group. And there were people from four different time zones on three different continents. Mm-hmm. By the way, the only time you can lead a small group like that is Sunday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Because the guy in Europe is not yet gone to bed yet, and the guy that's in Asia is just waking up. And so it's like it's at that perfect time zone where you can get everybody aligned and actually do a physical or a virtual small group in live space. And so like, but that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
And now we're in a situation where that guy in Europe has started a small group on his own.
Yeah.
And that situation I said with that guy from the Netherlands, he's now joined this guy who's in England, small group. Mm-hmm. And they're meeting in context of other people on that, you know, side of the ocean. And now they're doing a small group together where they're growing deeper in their faith, where they're challenging and encouraging and sharpening each other as the Bible calls us to. Hebrews 10 is being fulfilled through Zoom technology somewhere in Europe right now through an online small group. Because, man, let's just give it a shot and see what happens.
Right. Well, and let's talk about this for a quick second, the online small groups. How have you seen the different formats of online small groups in life groups? Because we've cheated with a few different things. You just mentioned Zoom. So what are some different ways that people can connect online in a small group kind of gathering?
I am hugely aggressive, probably more so than most church staffs would like. But man, I've seen small groups start on WhatsApp, like text.
Yes, yes.
You know, and the encouragement there is start a community wherever you can get the community going.
Yep.
Now, if a small group starts in WhatsApp, you know, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. If 3 years later, the only community you have is still within WhatsApp, I don't know that that's the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, use WhatsApp as a gateway, but drive to more. Drive to Zoom, on Google Hangout, on Facebook Video. I know Apple FaceTime groups are coming out with like 32 channels, but you got to all have iPhones or whatever.
Right.
So there's different platforms. Find whatever platform works. I can tell you within the context of us at Christ Fellowship, the majority were on Zoom. Some people had better success rate with Google Hangouts than others. And if they wanted to use a different platform, that's awesome. There's so many different free options right now, or even Zoom, I think it's $15 a month. And just to make a minor investment into it. But start wherever people are. If you can get people to hang out in a Instagram channel talking about something, like a private message thing or Facebook in a group, however you can start the conversation, but then continue to push that conversation forward into, you know, meeting face to face, into a Zoom, or even if possible, meeting online. Encourage people who are part of your virtual small group. Hey, you know what? Why don't you start a physical small group where you're at? Mm-hmm. Even if they're in a different city, encourage them through discipleship to take the step to share the faith of Christ with others, and maybe start a small group where they are.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, we've used a few different things. I've used WhatsApp. I have that to communicate with people. I've done Google Groups before, mm-hmm. Facebook groups. I want to do a Zoom group, but I've not been able to get that together yet. But that's kind of my next step, to kind of do some video groups, as I would love to do that as well. But I mean, I have found that these groups, people often will say to me, well, online groups aren't real groups. And I'm like, what world are we living in now? I mean, we are living in such a digital world where we communicate all the time digitally. We're on our phones all the time. Why can't there be real relationships that develop because of that? And I'm a complete proponent of these online groups.
So I want to tell you a story of somebody. My mom. My mom is, God bless her, she's 71 or 72 years old. I think she's 72 years old here in a couple months. She leads an online small group.
Oh my gosh.
She uses Zoom on a regular basis. Now, you know, there's a learning curve. She's 70, whatever. But she does a phenomenal job leading this group. And this is not just like people she knows here where she lives in Miami, Florida. There are people in different cities, mm-hmm. different states that are engaging in this thing. And she connected with this girl who at the time was living in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And through the online small group, through the intimacy of talking on Zoom, she developed a great relationship with this girl. She's mid-20s, I think. She was trying to become a lawyer, was in law school up in the D.C. area. And they built this great relationship, so much so, like, my mother would take trips with people from her small group to go visit this girl in Washington,
wow. D.C.,
and now in Houston. And the girl moved to Houston. And it's been a phenomenal relationship. And that's a 72-year-old lady mm-hmm. connecting through technology, extending her, you know, her ministry years and able to help disciple and help someone grow deeper in their faith.
Yeah.
And that's not even a native in technology person. That's right. Just someone who's like, sure, I got some time. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Dude, that is fantastic. Well, let me hit you up on this one, and then we'll kind of wrap up. But you know, I hear sometimes that people about serving. How do you serve in with online campus? Like, what are some opportunities for expanding serving? Because I believe that when you start an online campus, there you create more opportunities for people to serve. What has been your experiences with that?
You know, number one, there's always opportunities through chat hosts, through, you know, engaging in chat rooms, Facebook Live. You know, moderating some of those channels and engaging with the audience. Like I was just talking about, small groups is a big opportunity. One option that is happening right now in social media, Facebook changed the rules on us where it really doesn't matter what we as an organization say about ourselves. What matters far more is what other people now say about us. Facebook has changed the algorithms of the news feeds. And so they don't, you have to like favorite or an organization for an organization to be seen on your feed. Yeah. And now it's all about people talking to people.
Yeah.
So man, build up street teams, volunteer teams, brand ambassadors, get people out there talking about your church, about your online church, talk about online small groups, you know, whatever it is, but utilize these volunteers and these people who are actively, passionately connected to your ministry to talk about your ministry, to bring that awareness out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's more effective for them to talk about you than you as an organization to talk about you.
I really believe that there are lots of opportunities now with service, again, with the chat hosts, like you said, and I love what the comment you said about Facebook and how you can organize street teams to go after it. And that's the one thing I have to overcome on that. I'm so like, yes, I want to have street teams, but what does that look like and how do I do that is something that I have to really try to figure out as well. Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, one thing we did was we started a Bible study and we didn't follow this through to conclusion, but I bet somebody out there is able to do this, where we wanted to really create digital ambassadors, people that would engage in biblical community, and on hashtags, on you know, subgroups and things that are out there, even like going full on Reddit style, engaging in the community that's out there, and getting people to start asking biblical questions, building a relationship on a hashtag. Like I do some running, and so I know through Nike Plus, like there's a strong community that's out there with that. Engaging in that community and just starting to follow up on people, get them to ask biblical questions. Yeah. And that way it enables the volunteer and the person to serve passionately in the area that they were, of areas that excite them. I tell you, we had a guy at Christ Fellowship once, and we broadcast their services on Facebook Live. And what he did was he grabbed that service, and it was on demand at this point, but he grabbed that service and he shared it to 32 of his groups on Facebook.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like, I don't know, it's like cop something or other. It was all groups that had nothing to do with church world. But essentially what came out of that, there were 1,500 new people that had been exposed to the church service because this guy just was like, share the service, type three lines, share. Share the service, type three lines, share. 1,500 people got exposed to that.
Wow.
And so it's that type of person that says, hey, you know what? I'm just going to be literally a brand ambassador. I'm going to celebrate what God's doing through my church online. And I'm going to share it through whoever wants to hear it. And training the people, training your volunteers, your members, empowering them through discipleship to understand that they have a voice, that they have power, that they have influence. They may just not even realize it yet. But when God can use them, it's amazing what God can do.
Man, this is so encouraging right now for me, because I'm thinking, what are the things I need to do? Because again, we have goals and we want to reach more people. We're content with like, hey, God has blessed us and God is, you know, doing some great stuff, but we want to get more people exposed to the gospel. And so what can we be doing? So I'm striving. I'm like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? This is what I can do. This is like my next step right now for our online campus, is to create these brand ambassadors on that. That's a great encouraging story right there that you just shared. So,
man, there's a lot more that's out there, and I would love to connect with anybody else through the church.digital to help anybody and everybody take these next steps to help these online churches become more effective.
Yeah, I could literally talk to you for hours. So I'm gonna have to bring you back on the podcast. But if people do want to connect with you, it's a website. You've got your website, which is thechurch.digital. What else? How else can they connect with you?
Twitter is at JDREED, and so that's probably the best way. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm everywhere. But if you hit me up at thechurch.digital, man, that's the hub of me. Just wrote a blog, literally just published it. 10 things your pastor needs to know about church online. So,
oh, nice.
Grab that, look at that. And if I can help have some conversations to help empower you guys, man, I'm doing everything I can to help the online church do it. So hit me up at thechurch.digital.
That is fantastic. Well, Jeff, I'm definitely going to hit you up some more, and I'm going to read your blog post like right now. So that's great. So Jeff, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tom.
All right. So there you have it. My conversation with Jeff. It was awesome talking with him. And again, he's a new contact. And this, you know, this online community, these online pastor communities, they're smaller than other communities. And so it's kind of nice to have a new voice, a new face, and he's got a lot of great insights. Again, he worked with the church for many years, and he grew his church through online ministry. And so I would love to hear your thoughts on that. What stood out to you from our conversation about online ministry? Where are you feeling some encouragement? Where are you feeling like you need to dive deeper into it? Hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. I would love to continue this conversation on social media, so hit me up there. Also, as we kind of wrap up here,